Dono on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
It is Dom time. By the way, more details this hour on this Bill Malugian report from ICE that's now all over the place. 13,000 crossed the border with murder convictions. I gave you some of those numbers. Harris at the border today. ICE releases this, which is shocking for the Biden administration. But it's, I don't think she'll take questions. But it's out there. It's something the Trump campaign certainly can talk about. Beth Ann Rossica is education expert extraordinaire, but also writing at Broad and Liberty. She was analyzing Kamala Harris and women and female voters. And we've been talking about that. And we asked Lee Stefanik today, who gave a great answer, the congresswoman, about how the Trump campaign ought to approach this, not singling them out all the time as if they're just one-dimensional, but some of the things to consider with this. And I think with Harris, one of the biggest things to still pursue, if this isn't a winner, then common sense is completely gone in America. The low-hanging fruit are seeing these guys out there beating up on women sometimes in women's sports, stealing from them. It's stolen valor. If that is not a political winner, then I don't know what is to be on the other side of that. I even think that more than the changing in bathrooms and all that, I know that gets people nuts. Maybe it's my competition complex here, but I just see Dan and I have interviewed for Reading, Writing, and Reason, women who are tremendous and can't come close to mediocre male runners. So let's go to Beth Ann Rossica here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Beth Ann, welcome back. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on the show, Dom.
Well, Beth Ann, first wanted to talk with you about Upper Darby High School. It was, and I told some people today that are more insiders, they didn't fully know about this, and they were shocked they'd be spending the amount of money they're spending, $1.1 million, and something that's going to take students 40 to 60 minutes a day in the morning to get into the building, and something this drastic without a school resource officer who's armed. What are your thoughts on Upper Darby High School overall?
Well, I've written about Upper Darby many, many times and their academic decline and the myriad of issues that are going on there and have been going on for quite some time. So, you know, I have really mixed feelings about this specific issue with the monitors that they're putting in. I mean, 1.1 is an extraordinary amount of money. However, what I will say is that districts waste more money than that on all sorts of other garbage that is, you know, far inferior. So for me, the money is the least of the issues, because if it is actually something that would keep students and staff safe, then I think that that's a no-brainer. $1 million to keep everybody safe is certainly worth the money. The question becomes, is this really the best way to instill a feeling of comfort and security inside of a school building? And I think that the bigger issue that I've seen raised by parents and community members is that this was very much rushed through. This is a really big purchase. It's a really big change. And the fact that there wasn't a longer dialogue, there wasn't a community task force, advisory force, parents, people be able to give comment and to really discuss through the pros and cons of this. I think that this is just yet another example of Upper Darby not taking everybody's feelings, thoughts, considerations into the mix before making such a paramount decision for these schools. Because, well, it's not just the high school,
right?
It's the two middle schools as well.
Well, I would agree with that, but we have this compromise. People were asking me about it the other day. My understanding of it, I think, is pretty clear, but you may know better. In the budget with Shapiro, and it was our representative Sheeran and others from Souderton, they got that the state will give $50,000 to the school district to have a school resource officer They wanted to demand they must be armed with a firearm. The compromise was that'll be on the school district to decide. I still think that's better, Bethann, because with this inconvenience of this detection system, if you had a maniac coming into that school, they can go right there or come in from another door. I'd rather have someone there that I know is going to take them on.
Right. No, and I agree. And I don't see them as mutually exclusive areas. I think that we absolutely need school resource officers in the buildings, and in an area like Upper Darby, having somebody armed probably makes sense in order to be able to keep everybody safe. I just think that once again, Upper Darby makes knee-jerk decisions and they don't really look at all of the aspects. I mean, I wrote recently, maybe a couple months ago, you know, about the whole cell phone issue in school. I mean, Upper Darby could be taking steps to remove cell phones from the school, which would also help to create a much better environment for the students. So there's a lot of things that they could be doing that they're not doing, and it feels like this was a knee-jerk reaction, and to your point, a lot of money.
Woodbury, Bethann, is the latest to do this. Now, you're an education expert. My expertise comes from being on the front lines teaching. I think you've had some of that. It's going to be fairly difficult to be doing that with the removal of the phones. The execution of it is important. I'm in favor of it. I can't imagine having kids distracted by that all day long, what that's like.
Well, and I've talked about this before, Dom, the cell phone issue, and there are schools in Pennsylvania that have outlawed cell phones. Kids are not mm-hmm. allowed to have cell phones in school. And what we're seeing is that student engagement is very much increased, and teachers don't have to fight for the attention of kids. I mean, there are two ways to do this, and actually the legislature approved funding through the Safe Schools Act to use towards the elimination of cell phones. They can purchase these, they're called cell phone bags, that the phone goes in and it's basically locked so that you can't access it during the day. But I also think that you can simply have a policy that phones have to stay in your locker, and if they're out of your locker, then you get a detention, and you know, you take progressive disciplinary action.
Right.
We have to change the environment. Everybody's become so accustomed to having access to their cell phone 24/7. We've got to change that environment. And you know, I think that the safety issue really is the cell phones are a part of that, because you know, a lot of what leads to kids bringing cell phones to school or weapons to school is the feeling of not being safe. And part of not feeling safe is the garbage that kids post on social media, the cyberbullying that goes on, and kids bring weapons because they think that they need to feel safe. And if we could improve that climate and make kids feel emotionally and physically safer through the removal of cell phones, I think that that would go a long way to addressing many of the issues that we're seeing in public schools.
Bethann Rossiga with us. And Bethann, writing over abroad in Liberty, this has become a touchstone issue here. I see the election shaping up. We had the Teamsters president of 96,000 Teamsters in Pennsylvania on this week. He didn't fully concede, but basically he did. That Trump has broken through. We know this now, big time, with union members, Teamsters, and the like. And yet, when it comes to these pesky women in the suburbs again, this is an area, and that's why the tell was, the Trump people know this, he started talking about being a protector this week. Now, you've been writing about Harris and women, which is in a layup for her, and maybe there's some material there, some thought process that the Trump people should be looking at, because I think you've hit upon several things with VP Harris and women.
Yes, well, I wish that the Trump campaign would call me, because I'd be happy to talk to them about messaging that they could 100% improve upon, because their messaging has not been stellar either. However, you know, what I am talking about, I've completed 3 of a 4-part series on the case against Kamala in Broad and Liberty, and my most recent one on Monday talked about the conundrum of womanhood. You know, Harris and the Democratic Party cannot even define or refuses to define what a woman is, but they champion themselves as, you know, we're the leaders of, you know, reproductive services for women in the country. And I really believe that their positions are completely antithetical from one another. You can't support women if you can't even define who and what they are. And, you know, you opened this up with the thought of women having to compete against men in sports. I absolutely agree with you. It's abhorrent. It's ludicrous. It makes no sense. And it is low-hanging fruit. And that is a message, and it's been polled. The majority of people in this country, regardless of their political affiliation, do not think that boys should be able to compete against girls in sports. I have two teenage boys. There is no way I would let them compete against a girl in a sport. It's just, it makes no sense. And I think that messaging has to be made very, very clear. Harris continues to refuse to answer questions on that issue. Mm-hmm. She refuses to answer questions on at what point in time is abortion acceptable or not acceptable. I mean, I talk in my article that, you know, I was a former Democrat. I am still a generally pro-choice woman who lives in southeastern Pennsylvania. The demographic that, you know, the Republicans really need to have any hope of winning. However, even as a primarily pro-choice person, I have very clear lines in the sand about when abortion is acceptable. And where Waltz has come from and where I believe Harris comes from is absolutely unacceptable.
Let me give you a tough question on that, though. In broad strokes, what is the line in the sand? I'm talking about this in political terms, because that's where we are, that people like Trump and others ought to have top of mind. Is it 15 weeks or is it even more than that?
Well, so, you know, Dom, and, you know, again, I'm probably not the general listener to your show. I don't consider myself conservative on a lot of issues. But in this case, for me, I mean, Pennsylvania, we have a 24-week allowability for abortion, and I'm comfortable with that. As a pro-choice person, I'm comfortable with that. You know, I know that some people feel like it should be at the heartbeat. Some people, you know, have different lines. For me, my personal line is if a baby can be born and live with life support, then to me, that's right. Where the line is. That's where, then it's a baby. It's not a choice. It is a baby. It's a human being. And again, I know that this is a very hot button issue. But if the mother's life is at risk, I mean, nobody's ever saying that if the mother's going to die, you let the mother die, you know, to have the child be born. But that's the messaging that the progressives and particularly Harris and Waltz want people to believe. And they're unwilling to answer those questions. I mean, killing a baby at, you know, 9 months in utero, it is murder to me.
Absolutely.
No question about that.
I don't sense this is going to be quite the issue it was in 2022, but I do sense it is going to be top in mind for, shall we say, reluctant voters, younger women under 30, 40 that don't come out all the time or vote by mail or whatever. And it's still there as the one pivot they have in the suburbs.
I agree with you, Dom. I think that there are a lot of women who are not willing to do the research, because I can tell you that here in the suburbs, if I were to talk to even, you know, Democratic moms and I said, you know, are you okay with abortion in the 8th month? Most of them would say no. Mm-hmm. But the Democrats' messaging, Harris's messaging on this issue has been very good. The message here should be Pennsylvania already has a law on the books that allows abortion up to 24 weeks. Nobody's taking that away. Neither Trump nor Harris, you know, will have anything to do with that unless, you know, they try to do something in Congress. But this is codified in Pennsylvania already. And I don't think that anybody's doing a very good job of explaining where things are in Pennsylvania and why it really shouldn't be that big of an issue for voters, particularly in the Southeast.
Where's the best place to find your work, Beth Ann? At Broad and Liberty, where else?
Yes, broadandliberty.com. Occasionally I have some pieces in Delaware Valley Journal, but for the most part, you can find everything that I write in broadandliberty.com.
Thanks, Beth Ann. As always, have a nice weekend.
Thanks. Take care, Dom.
All right. Good stuff. And we'll continue to talk with her about that. She really has written insightful stuff about Kamala Harris and women. I still think the low-hanging fruit done carefully here is this issue. It translates into all the nonsense that goes with this when it comes to women. And the abortion issue, handling that appropriately, of course, is big. All right, but right now, it is time for...
It's Dobbs Money Melody!
Has all the money gone?
Okay, today, playing for a pair of tickets to see Joe Conklin with the City Rhythm Orchestra's The Story of Philadelphia Sports Through Music. It's Saturday, October 26th at the Cherokee Performing Arts Center in Marlton, New Jersey. For tickets, visit joeconklin.com. Dan, what do you have?
Today, Dom, we're doing a cover song, looking for the cover artist. And today's cover artist, Dom, not known for singing very often. Instead, okay. Actually known for being a tough guy, playing a lot of parts that I think fit the answer of our side question, who would you hire as your security detail? So, Dom, today we want to know who this guy is. Very well known for a Christmas movie, I'll put that out there. Singing Secret Agent Man. It all ties together. Take a listen. We want to know who today's cover artist is.
There's a man who leads a life of danger.
Not bad. Not good, but not bad.
One he meets,
better than most. He's
a stranger. Every move he makes, that's one more chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret.
We're looking for the cover artist, Dom, today, a person that's not known for singing, known for playing, a lot of people who would fit the answer of our side question today, Dom, of someone who you'd hire as your security detail.
You know, it'd be interesting to find out what cover song has sold the most, because I can't imagine with most of these anybody buying any of this stuff at any time.
I think it's House of the Rising Sun.
By whom? Who covered
it? That, I think Imagine and Blackbird are up there as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I meant somebody who covered, though.
Whitney Houston's, probably, I would think.
Whatever she covered.
No, it's the, right. And I will always love you.
No, but I'm saying a cover artist, most of them, it's bad.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you're saying this is strictly a cover artist. That's Tom Jones.
Okay. All right, 855-839-1210. Hit us with that, and you are off to see the great Joe Conklin here on Talk Radio 1210.
It's Dom Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
Show me the money.
All right. Who is it that's covering this song today? Let's hear the clue.
There's a man who leads a life of danger.
Think a tough guy.
To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger.
He'll always be singing this about himself and the parts that he plays.
Exactly. All right, let's try Gary in Springfield on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Gary, who's covering that?
Hey, Dom, this is a better Bruce from New Jersey, Bruce Willis.
Wow, I wouldn't have guessed that in a million years. Henry, do you hear Bruce Willis there?
I mean, now I didn't before when he played it for me, but when he told me who it was,
I still don't hear it. That's a test. I still don't hear it. That's remarkable.
Here, take a listen for a second.
There's a man who leads a life of danger.
That's still a stretch. His singing voice is much different than. Know every...
I want to say this is actually released right around the time as John McClane, his appearance as John McClane in Die Hard as well, too. Great Christmas film.
Yes, it is. We'll get to that. All right. So, Gary in Springfield is a winner off to see Joe Conklin. All right, we got the side question going on. Somebody to head up the Trump detail. Dave McCormick will be here in about 5-6 minutes. Kamala Harris at the border today. Fentanyl is what she'll try to talk about. She'll stand in front of the fencing, I guess, even saying the Biden administration had something to do with putting that up. I know, ludicrous. Over and under, she won't take questions. Bill Malugian, though, has got a great one. That new report out from ICE today. This is what Trump needs to process. You know, and it's hard for him to do it at a rally. He thinks people get bored if he's making a logical point that's not overly entertaining. Well, this is the thing that Harris has been involved in. Over 15,000 people coming through, they release murderers, rapists, another number, 425,000 with serious crimes. And this is from ICE, just out. All right, let's go to Gary in Newtown. And Gary, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Gary. Gary? All right. Sorry about that, Gary. Let's go to Robert in Bensalem, Talk Radio 1210. Afternoon, Robert.
Hey, Dom, Dan, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
Real quick, you know, I was reading through the indictments on Adams up in New York, and I'm seeing things like upgrades on plane tickets and things like that, and I'm thinking this might be political. But one of the things he's being charged with was he took like $1.3 million in illegal bribes from Turkish nationals, which might be bad enough, but he had Americans say that they made the donations, which is even worse. But what really kills me is he then submitted it for the government match, which in New York is 8-1. So he turned that $1.3 million in illegal bribes into $9.6 million in campaign funds.
Yeah.
And
well,
I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's not political.
Well, yeah, I get your point, but I still think, Robert, there's part of this because it took so long to get to this. Could I say that if he didn't turn on Biden with the migrant thing, it wouldn't have happened to him? All I know is they're coming after him harder, and it's Menendez, it's the Cuellar guy. This stuff has been going on and it never reached a boiling point.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that, Dom. I'm just thinking because I was looking to confirm that suspicion in my mind. But I think what it is they actually got him on something, and they're adding a bunch of other things on.
Yes, that's it.
The process is the punishment, you know what I mean?
Exactly right, yep.
For my side question, I wanted to go a little outside the box, and I was going to go with Chuck Norris, just because he's thorough and he's badass. Now, I have to admit, I was a little disappointed when he admitted that he used a stunt double, but I was relieved to find out that it was only for the crying scenes. You guys have yourselves a wonderful weekend, okay?
I had Chuck Norris on once, Dan, and the people that were producing back then, they thought like, oh my God, this is the end of the world, the greatest person you could possibly get. And he was big. I mean, at that point in time, he was a rage of the internet.
He was. He was. Yeah. He was the greatest meme to ever exist.
He was, at one point, you still kind of hear
it filtering through sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like he's on the level of, you know, internet history as that's what she said when Michael Scott first said that in The Office, and it took over the internet as well.
I would say that he was right up there without a doubt. All right, Dave McCormick making a closing charge here against Bob Casey Jr. Three debates coming up, but more importantly, I heard Dave in an interview talk about fentanyl, which Harris is going to be talking about momentarily today at the border. He is next here on Talk Radio 1210.
Well, you know, in the moment, it was this incredible thing because President Trump had called me up onto the stage. So I started to go up onto the stage, and then he said, no, I want to talk about the border. And there's 15,000 people. He said, Dave, go ahead and sit down, and I'll have you come up later. And I sat down, and within a minute, the bullet started. President Trump was 15, 20 feet in front of me.
Now when you see that, knowing how preventable that was, what are your thoughts?
It looks to me like an organization that is failing miserably, that has a huge leadership problem, that doesn't have the ability to adapt. We got to get answers on this.
All right, that's Dave McCormick running for the Senate against Bob Casey Jr. You know, if he wins, Dan, I have to retire the junior stuff all the time. I don't know if I can do that. And he's on tomorrow night's show with Brian Kilmeade, the great Brian Kilmeade, on a bus tour with him. Dave is with us on Talk Radio 1210. Dave, welcome back in. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, good afternoon, Dom. How are you?
Well, good. And you have to be feeling pretty good. I like the guy that heads them, the Philadelphia Firefighters and Paramedics Local 22, has endorsed you. And every time they do something like this, going across the line, there's blowback and people go after them. Particularly, Dave, it's shocking to get an endorsement against the Casey name. I'm not saying Bob Casey, but I mean the Casey name when it comes to unions. That deserves kudos.
Yeah, well, thank you. I was honored to get their support. But, you know, somebody, Brian, when I did that TV interview with him the other day, he asked me, what do you think about taking on the Casey dynasty? And I said, you know, the one thing about dynasties, they all end at some point. And this is an example of a guy who's been in office for 18 years, who is a career politician, who has shown himself to be weak time and again, and who has adopted and supported all these liberal policies. He's voted 98% of the time with Biden and Harris. He'll vote 98% of the time or better with President Harris if she should be elected. And that's just out of step with Pennsylvania. And so I'm making my case to the firefighters and to the FOP. The Fraternal Order of Police have also endorsed me, switched their endorsement from Bob Casey, 44,000 men and women in blue, because I offer, you know, I'm an outsider. I'm a strong leader. I'm a West Point guy. I'm a combat veteran, and I'm a guy who's run businesses and created jobs right here in Pennsylvania. And that's what people want. They want strength, not weakness. And Bob Casey's been weak and liberal. And so that's why the firefighters, I think, came on board, and I'm honored to get it. And, you know, I told them, and I'll say to you and all of Pennsylvanians, I will have their back. I will have the back of the men and women who wear various uniforms to keep our community safe and to respond in moments of crisis. That's the foundation for a safe and orderly society.
Now, you're one of the best I've heard, Dave, at being very methodical but aggressive on what we have to do around fentanyl. And one of the reasons we wanted to talk with you today on point, that's going to be Harris's major pitch at the border. We don't know if she'll take questions, probably not, because there's a really damaging ICE report out today. But give us the principles of what we're not doing, or we're not doing enough that we can knock this out.
Yeah, and I will answer that. But boy, this is a woman in Vice President Harris who has said, you know, she supports wide open borders, supports sanctuary laws, supports not having a wall, supports a pathway to citizenship for 11 million. So the fact that she's going to the border and flip-flopping her positions, just like Bob Casey's flip-flopped on this, is an example of how vulnerable they are on an issue which has been a crisis. Listen, here's the fentanyl problem. We have precursors from China that are shipped illicitly to Mexico. We got to stop that. We got to treat that like it's plutonium coming into our country. We got to interdict ships. We got to get tough with China on that. We have cartels in Mexico that are manufacturing fentanyl. We got to go after the cartels. On day one in the Senate, I would put in place legislation, or I would propose legislation that would indicate that the cartels are terrorist organizations, and that we would use our military selectively, drone special operations, to go across the border, destroy the manufacturing facilities for fentanyl, the distribution networks. Three, we got to secure our border. We got to finish the wall. We got to make sure we have the right fentanyl detection equipment. We got to fund our border patrol. All of those things Bob Casey and Kamala Harris have been opposed to until they're for it. And it's we got synchronized flip-flopping going on here with Kamala Harris and Bob Casey. And then the final thing, which is heart-wrenching, Dom, I had four fentanyl families in my home in Pittsburgh about 2 weeks ago, and they each told their stories. I mean, this is poison that gets hidden in recreational drugs, in legal drugs, innocents being killed, 4,000 Pennsylvanians last year. We got to deal with the demand side. We got to deal with helping people be able to identify fentanyl, helping people break the addiction. We don't have enough facilities. It's also tied to the mental health crisis. So we got to stop the supply from the cartels, but we also got to reduce the demand here in Pennsylvania and around the country. And that's the kind of agenda I'd put forward.
Give me an idea, Dave, of, well, hopefully you're elected. That's going to mean we take back the Senate. We ought to be able to do this. Interdicting the Chinese ships, that is something I hadn't heard before, and exactly right. The easier thing to do, if we have the will to do it, I'm talking about the technology and everything else is there, is taking out their drug labs. We obviously have the intelligence. DeSantis really drilled down on this during the campaign. What does Casey say? If this will come up during the debates, and I hope you really press it, because Casey will then have to defend what? That we're worried about Mexico's reaction to this?
Who knows? I mean, he is so reluctant to take a position. I honestly don't know what his view would be. I mean, you know, the shocking news you mentioned just before you asked me this question, the fact that 13,000 convicted murderers have been, I just heard this, have been apprehended at the border and then released into our economy under the amnesty. This was consistent with the amnesty program and that legislation that Bob Casey and Kamala Harris are supporting. I mean, this is absolute madness. I mean, when President Trump gets up on the stage and talks about murderers and rapists coming into our country, and the mainstream media, you know, wave their hands and say he's overstating the case. Here we have the director of ICE, the current director of ICE, Immigration and Customs, saying that 13,000 convicted murderers were released. I don't know how Bob Casey defends that. It's indefensible. And I believe their entire position on the border, Bob Casey, has now gotten tough. I mean, he ran a commercial, Dom. It's the height of hypocrisy, you know, Bob Casey, tough on the border. I mean, are you kidding me? For 3.5 years, the border's been wide open. It's a crisis beyond our wildest imagination, and the policies of Biden, Harris, and Casey have led us to this point, and now all of a sudden they're doing an election year conversion. I don't think it's defensible. I don't know how they'll try to defend it. I don't know how voters could possibly believe it.
Yeah, I wanted to underline, too, I'm thinking of hiring that guy that's in charge of ICE now, doing this during a Biden administration, Dave. That's really the story here. This isn't a Trump guy or anything.
Yeah, that's right. Well, listen, I think we've got people, you know, despite our disappointment, there's a lot of great Americans,
right. Great
patriots serving in our government today, serving in our armed forces, serving in our military, our CIA, all these places who want to do the right thing and are being just so hindered by this weak liberal failure at the top. And so I'm heartened to see it. He's a great American, and it took a lot of courage to speak the truth.
Are you going to be at the next Trump event in Butler, Dave? You were there very close by. We played that cut of you with Brian Kilmeade. Are you going to be there in Butler?
Yeah, I expect to be there. And, you know, you and I have spoken about this, but I thought that was a moment. You know, as you know, I wrote an op-ed for the Journal,
yep.
Wall Street Journal, the next day, and I said an inch away from catastrophe. And that's what I think it was. And I think the thing that most Pennsylvanians and Americans will remember is that iconic picture of President Trump standing up and putting his fist in the air. And I can tell you, as someone who's been in combat and seen people get shot at, it's a rare person. 99 people would have been in the fetal position underneath the podium. And it takes a rare person to stand up and show that kind of courage and strength. And Lord knows, we see the Middle East on fire, you know, Putin on the march, China rattling a saber. We need strength. These cartels destroying America, we need strength right now. And I think that was a good representation to the people of our great country that President Trump has the strength that we need to get our country back on track.
Three debates coming up, am I right? I mean, that speaks well of you and Casey. I mean, I think you guys should have 10 debates. I mean that seriously. To break through,
yeah.
That people can see the contrast. When are these coming up?
Well, there's two agreed upon,
okay.
And then I'm pressing for a third in Pittsburgh. There's one in Harrisburg on October 3rd. There's one in Philadelphia on October 15th, and then I'm hoping that they'll agree. I've agreed to a third in Pittsburgh. And listen, this is critical because I think we have two things. We have a stark contrast between the leadership and common sense policies that I will bring to the Senate versus what I think is demonstrated weakness and very liberal policies that Senator Casey has supported. But then second, listen, this man's been in elected office for 30 years and he's been in the Senate for 18 years. And essentially what's being asked here is for the people of Pennsylvania to rehire him for 6 more years or said differently, fire him from a job that he spent a long time in. And I think it's important that he have the opportunity to stand up there on the stage and defend his record. I don't think his record's defensible. I think this is a contrast and a choice between more of the status quo, which 80% of Pennsylvanians think is our country's going in the wrong direction, and change, and somebody who's going to shake things up. But the voters will get to decide, And the thing I like about it, frankly, Dom, is that, you know, there's been these vicious commercials run about me that are absolute lies. And I'm going to have the opportunity to talk about those lies and put Senator Casey on the spot for why he's running a campaign that's focused on attacking his opponent, who's never been in elected office, instead of running a campaign about what right. one would hope would be a very strong record as the senior senator from Pennsylvania. He doesn't have a record to run on, so his approach has been to spend the other thing is he's saying that you know, the problem is that I'm outspending him. Good Lord, I wish it were true. He's outspending me dramatically
exactly.
because he's been able to raise money from Chuck Schumer and everybody else. So these are the issues we'll be able to talk about in front of all the viewers in Pennsylvania.
Dave, where do we go for all things Dave McCormick?
DaveMcCormickPA.com. You may see my bus on the highway, but to learn about my positions and where I'll be, DaveMcCormickPA.com.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you very much.
Dom, good to be with you. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, fentanyl. Coming here with Harris today. You heard that approach. Interdict the Chinese ships, etc. 855-839-1210. The lightning round is straight ahead. The NFL is flying by, but you still have time to start the season with a big return on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place that first $5 bet. You can build a same-game parlay for the Sunday matchup with the Eagles. Boy, I don't know. I'm taking the under on Jalen Hurts as far as passing yards. Henry, jump in. Do you have anything good for Sunday, a nugget?
I was going to disagree with you there and go over. I think Todd Bowles is going to play a bit of a soft defense, and the Eagles are going to have to throw
good
it
analysis.
Around the yard.
All right, Dan, you break the tie.
I'm with you, Dom. I'm with you.
Thank
because you.
Because
you got a Devonta Smith who's got that concussion. He's going to be
and
dealing with
AJ
that.
AJ out.
And you got Dallas
Wayne
Goedert
Johnson
who's going to be bracketed
out.
The entire game and a quarterback
exactly.
who can't throw to the center of the field.
Oh, all right. So there's a dispute here. You decide.
I'll give you a different bet then.
Yeah, give us another bet.
Johnny Wilson, anytime touchdown.
Oh my God. That must be $1 million
for
that one.
I mean, if we're not going to have Smitty, someone's got to step up.
All right. So just visit FanDuel.com/Dom to make every moment more this season. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 1210 WPHD. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. You have to be 21+, present in Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? 1-800-GAMBLER.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
Dom's Lightning Round, sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. Enjoy back-to-school savings on a 36-month lease of an exciting C40, only $369 per month. Down payment, taxes, and registration fees, they're due at inception, except no taxes on the C40 in New Jersey. Visit Cherry Hill Volvo today. We had on the show, before we go to the Lightning Round, the woman who runs the election cycle in Luzerne County. Somebody just put up on Twitter, this woman, we got to get back again. She's got a list up of the things they're doing transparently, who's assigned to do it in the office, and checking the box as they go through each one of these things to ensure a transparent election. Can you imagine Lisa Dealey and the gang over there in Philadelphia doing anything like this? Just a remarkable thing on Twitter that we'll get into more on Monday. All right, let's go to Joe in Bordentown. Joe, who's guarding Trump?
Muammar Gaddafi used to have Amazonian East German women guarding them. So I think that would be a good idea.
Oh, boy, with Trump. All right. Joe in Westchester. Joe, quickly, who is guarding Trump?
Well, I decided that since in Israel, Netanyahu and
yes.
President Herzog, nothing's happened to them. So I tried to find out the name of their Secret Service, and Google wouldn't give me a direct answer.
All right, the head of the Mossad, Joe, got you for that, which is a very good answer. Drew in Upper Darby. Drew, who is it you want guarding Trump?
Hey, Dom, thanks, man. You said go outside the box. So, hey, Dom, in the first Godfather, when the five families yeah. meet, they're not meeting for themselves for peace. They just found out that they got the task and the contract for the protection of Donald Trump. So the five families are going to guard him.
All right. And to cap the week, the great Joe of Exton. Joe, who's guarding Trump?
Yes, hello, Dom, and good afternoon. The person I would choose to protect Donald Trump is Alexander the Great from Greek history. If he was great back then, he'll be even greater in 2024.
So on brand, so on brand. I don't know. Joe's call, Robert of Ben Salem. I like the massage. Henry, who's your number one answer?
I like Joe and Bordentown's call of the East German women.
The East German women.
I like Chuck Norris. The five families were good ones. Alexander the Great, the Amazonians. I'm leaning towards Joe just because he got me there with the. He was great then. He must be greater now.
All right. I think, tough call here. The clock is ticking. All right. Let's go with Joe of Exton.
All right, Joe.
Put him into the hat. Let's get the final winner of the Letters to Trump book.
Yeah, Joe in the hat. Letters to Trump on the board. Monday, Dom, we asked for the greatest storytellers of all time. Jeff and Monmouth called it with Paul Harvey, won the day. Word pronunciations on Tuesday for words that are pronounced two different ways and which one's the right way. Duane of Valley Forge, realtor/realtor. Wednesday, a piece of media that reminds you of fall. That could be a movie, film, TV. Show, song, movies are films, I guess. Autumn in New York by Frank Sinatra from Bruce in the Northeast on Wednesday. Thursday, Sidekicks number twos. Chris in Burlington said a very notable number two, born that way, Prince Harry. And then you just heard Alexander the Great as a protector for Trump and others. So Dom, all into the hat now. Let's get that drum roll rolling if I do indeed have that. And I do. I've rolled a number one, which means Monday's winner wins that Letters to Trump book. Jeff in Monmouth with Paul Harvey. Congratulations, Jeff.
All right, great week here. Some of the guests, kudos to producers getting on, particularly Bill Hamilton, the Teamsters guy. If you have a chance, check out on Channel 6 Inside Story. Didn't have the right tie today, but the purple tie worked. That's all I'll tell you about. There was a lot of good stuff with it. It's 11:30 on Sundays. And follow on Twitter at DomShow1210, at DomShow1210. I'll tell you more on Monday. This Luzerne County operation is exactly the type of thing you need to do to restore faith in the election cycle. Sadly, Philadelphia says, what the hell, we'll do whatever we want. And that's what we're going to have to try to rein in a great bit. Richie always next to take you home for four big hours. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.